John chapter 14 and chapter 16. We're going to sort of finish up on the Holy Spirit today. And some of the things that I've said you've already heard, and that's okay. You'll get a double hearing. And things we hear twice, then we remember all the more. And so that's a good thing. And so we're going to talk about the roles of the Holy Spirit again. And the one that we really haven't talked about very much is the Holy Spirit's role to glorify the Son. And so start with me in John 14. Let's just look really quickly at this verse, at verse 16. And, you know, you might think, oh, goodness, what in the world is this? How does this relate to my life? Oh, my goodness. If you even have a question of whether or not the Holy Spirit relates in your life, you have no idea of who the person of the Holy Spirit is. You know, the Holy Spirit is, I mean, if I've had to sum up who the Holy Spirit is, I'd say the Holy Spirit is a literal presence of God given to man to be in your life today. I mean, it's like I come to God on the basis of my faith. My faith in God, my faith in Christ. That's what Ephesians 2:8 says, that we are saved by God's grace through our faith. So I come to Christ, I come to God on the basis of faith. And what the Bible says is that when to those who believe in the only begotten Son, the Holy Spirit is given. And so the Holy Spirit then becomes the expression of God in my life. He becomes the literal presence of God in my life. You know, you ever been in here on a Sunday morning or you listen to a Christian radio or something and maybe you've got an issue in your life, you've been praying about it and struggling with it and you know, something said in the message or something, you hear something in a song and you just know that God has just spoken to you. You never, you hear people say, well, you know, God said such and such. Well, you know, when we say that God says such and such, are you in here and you have a sense that God has just spoken to you? You need to realize that the one who just did that was the Holy Spirit. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. You know, and if so, if you got this distant, you know, some people, you know, I know it gets so hard for you sometimes because you have to translate what I say. You know, what happens to me on a Sunday morning? What happens to me on a Sunday morning? And you just have to forgive me and you have to give me grace, okay? I know that what happens sometimes is I start talking, I start going down a certain road, and before I get to the end of that road, I've gone on a detour. And I never even get back to the road. You know, it's like, you know, and so, you know, you just have to give me grace and you have to translate. You know, it ought to help you because you got to sit on the edge of your seat to see where I'm going. Because half the time I don't know. But I you know, and so, but I get so filled with the Spirit. You know, I get so filled. You know, you want to know what the Spirit is like? You just watch me on a Sunday. I don't mean to say that in the wrong way, but it's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit put so many words in my head that my mouth can't keep up with my mind. That literally is what happens. But the point I was making before I got distracted again was that when you are in here and you know, you just have this heart place, something touches your heart, and you know, you say, God just spoke to me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that's done that. And so if you have this idea, some people have this idea that, you know, we even believe in Jesus Christ. We see this separation between yourself and God. You know, like this is a distance, you've got a bridge. You don't understand the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the bridge. The Holy Spirit is the bridge. It's like, you know, use this illustration of these lights. You know, the beam on my face is coming from that light source, okay? You cannot separate the beam on my face from its source. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. The 15th chapter of John, the 26th verse, says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. He proceeds from the Father in the same way that light proceeds from that source, from its source. And so you cannot separate the two. And so when you are in a service and when you're listening to someone, you know, when you know God has spoken to you, that is the Holy Spirit that is just whispered in your ear. Okay? He's just whispered in your ear. You cannot separate the Spirit of God. And if you feel distant from God, okay? If you feel distant from God, you can't reach God. There is a reason for that. You know, if you go to the doctor, you know, and you know, you've got a headache or you've got chills or whatever. You know, you go to a doctor and he makes a diagnosis and he gives you a medication. Hopefully that medication is going to take care of that illness. It's the same thing with spiritual things. You know, if you feel distant from, if there's a reason for that, There's a reason for that, and there's a reason for that, and God will reveal that to you if you believe that He will. It's like Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You know, so if you have this idea that God's way up there and you're way down here, you can't reach that ground, you can't bridge that gap, you don't have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. Because the Holy Spirit is, says John 14:6, the Holy Spirit abides in us and is with us. Okay? The Holy Spirit abides in us. Look at John 14:6. John 14:16 says, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, another parakletos, one just like me, that He may be with you forever. It's amazing. I love that. I love it when He says He's going to be with you forever. Don't ever think that once you place your faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, mind, and soul, that He's going to be here today and He's gone tomorrow. You know, the Holy Spirit's not going to give you a Dear John letter, okay? Because the Scripture says He's with you forever. Now, there may be times that you don't experience Him as much as you do in others. And part of that's normal. Part of that's... I just need to slow down just a minute. Part of it's normal. Okay? You know, part of it is normal. But don't, if you ever have this mindset that God has removed Himself from you, that's a violation of the promise of Jesus Christ. Because He says, the Holy Spirit, He says, I'm giving you the Spirit. Christ is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. Okay? He says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And He's a gift. He's a forever gift. That means He's not going to be here one day and gone tomorrow. He's not that way. He's a forever gift. So if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what? He's there. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life, you know, when I sort of fell off the wagon, okay? You know, particularly when I was in college, I sort of fell off the wagon. And, you know, I didn't really experience the presence of God's Spirit. Well, of course I didn't experience the presence of God's Spirit. I'd walked out of the light. Does that mean, you know, it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit's compared as a fire. In Matthew, at least the third chapter, what the Scripture says is that John the Baptist is talking about Christ, and he says that Christ, he says He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, and so, you know, in those days when I was sort of walking away from God, you know what I'd done? It's like, you know, Have you bought your load of firewood yet? Those of you who have a fireplace. Well, I bought mine last week, and it's still green, wet. You know, it is so hard to get that wood to burn. I lit my first fire Friday night. I couldn't get the stuff to burn. I mean, it took me 45 minutes, laid out the wood the same way I always lay it out, you know. And last year I had those fires just roaring, you know. And that fire, I love a good fire, and you know, I'm putting the newspaper all under there, got it stacked just right. And that wood won't burn for nothing. Well, it's just too, why is that? Because it's wet. You know, it's like when you walk outside of the presence of God. When you decide, for example, not to be, not to, you know, we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. We are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you don't stand in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to experience the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's like we, you know what we do? It's like we take a little bit of water and douse it on the fire. It's like, how can God, think about this. If God, not if, but since God is real, since the Holy Spirit is real, how better for God to tell you that you've sort of taken a baby step away from Him? Taking a little baby step away from Him. So I'm getting out of the light. You see that? Taking a little baby step away. The light's not shining as bright. How better for God to tell you that you sort of moved over here a little bit than for you to sense an absence of God in your life? You see? It's like the absence. When you sense that absence, that is the that should be a revelation that He's real. Because when you moved, you don't experience Him as much. You see? Okay, here's what He says. 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you. Christ gives us another parakletos. Now, you know, we talk about this word parakletos in the sense that literally translated as the one who walks alongside. Actually, the problem with that is the Holy Spirit doesn't walk alongside. He's inside you. See? He walks alongside. If we think, you know, he's outside, we got it all wrong. Geographically, you know, he's inside me. Okay, he's there. Verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Why can the world cannot receive? Because you only receive the Spirit when you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit unless you believe in Jesus Christ. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. See that? He abides with you and He will be in you. So how do we, what do we say? How do we begin an understanding of the Holy Spirit? Number one, He's given to us by Christ. Number two, He abides with us and will be in us. Okay? That is, any questions? Any questions about that so far? We're on the same page. You got that. Okay? All right? Now, let's look over now at, let's look at chapter 15, verse 27. Because then we say, okay, if the Holy Spirit is given to us by Christ as another parakletos, another one just like Christ, then and He abides with me and will be in me, then what would be the role? What does the Bible say the role of the Holy Spirit is? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, you guys, this is an important point. Okay, the Holy Spirit is in me.
And God gives the Holy Spirit a divine assignment. Okay? A divine assignment. How is the Holy Spirit going to accomplish that assignment? Where is He located? In you. In you.
So if the Holy Spirit's been given the role to do such and such, unless we yield to the impression and conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's role will not be accomplished. Got to get that. Okay, let me make sure we got it. Okay? Who's preaching this sermon today? Spirit. We got to understand that, see? Because if the Holy Spirit has a role and we don't yield to the Spirit, He can't accomplish His divine assignment. Because He works in you. And He works in me. And we become the hands of God. You got that? Say, for example, look at 15:27. Look at 26. Look at 26. 15:26. When the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, when the Helper comes, the Parakletos, when the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Okay? I will send to you from the Father. That is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. See, you cannot separate the Spirit from the Father. Cannot do that. Okay? For example, let me show you something. Okay, look here. Let me show you something. Okay, look up here on this screen. Oh, I don't believe I can do this. Yeah, there you go. You see that hand? You see my shadow? Well, what happens if I move my hand? See that shadow? You know? Whatever. Let's suppose, suppose I had somebody up here who had a smaller hand. You know, the smaller hand, the shadow reveals the hand. In other words, it's the shadow is, what it does is it is an exact image of the object in front of it. You know what the Holy Spirit's like? The shadow. It's like God's on the throne, and it's like Christ is in front of the throne,
And the light of God shines in Christ, and the shadow of Christ is the Holy Spirit. You see? Because He is the exact, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. In a minute, what you're going to see in John chapter 16, where Jesus says, He takes from mine, and He gives it to you. It says that the Holy Spirit cannot speak on His own initiative. He says that whatever He hears, He will speak. What is he saying? It's like the shadow. The Holy Spirit is the exact truth of Jesus Christ. And what He will do is He will shine the truth of Christ in your heart and in my heart. Okay? And so if the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit shines the truth of God in my heart and in your heart, I can freely
deliver that message or not deliver it. See? Look at 15. 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. He will bear witness of me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He bears witness. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit bears witness of Christ, and you, He bears witness in your heart, and you, for example, decide that you're not going to share that. What have we just done? Hey, you know, here's what we've done. This is what we've done to the Holy Spirit. What am I saying? Holy Spirit has a divine assignment to bear witness of the Son. The Holy Spirit abides in you. He abides in me by my faith in Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit gives a testimony to you of Christ, and for whatever the reason, you don't share it, you have just put duct tape on the mouth of the Spirit of God. You see that? And so, you know, why is it? You say, well, I don't sense the Spirit of God in my heart anymore. What? I don't feel this presence. Is it because, you know, you put that duct tape on? Well, you know, I can't do it in my work. You know, there's a way to do it. You see all those cards out there on the Christmas pad? You know, I'm not trying to PR them, but I am. Because you know what? That's how we bear witness. You know what? We can fill these pews up if you bear witness. Well, why would you not do that? Well, I don't want to offend anybody, Pastor. Well, go ahead. You know what? You just put duct tape on the mouth of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think in 1 Thessalonians 5 he says, do not quench the Spirit? You know, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know what that means? That means it's a marvelous way that God works. The Holy Spirit lives down deep inside of me now by my faith in Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says, where the Spirit is, there is liberty, there's freedom. You know what the Spirit will do? What the Spirit does, He will impress you. He will impress you to bear witness of Christ. He will impress you, but He will not make you. He will not make you. Because where the Spirit is, there's liberty. You can say yes or you can say no. It's the same thing in terms of the role of the Spirit, jumping ahead of myself just a little bit, because one of the roles of the Spirit is to convict us of sin. Okay? What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit, what He will do is He will reveal sin to you in your life. He may do that as you're reading the Scriptures. He may do that as you're sitting in a Sunday service or listening to the Christian radio or even talking to somebody. The Holy Spirit will reveal sin to you, but then see, it's up to you to decide to do something about that sin. Because the Holy Spirit is He exposes it. Not to condemn you, but to free you. Okay? That's what He does. He comes to free us. And so the Holy Spirit reveals the sin He takes from Christ. It reveals to us the truth of God. Let me illustrate this way. Some of you know that daily around 7 o'clock in the morning, there's a group of men gather on the front lawn. And by the way, you're welcome to join us any morning, 7 a.m. Generally, you know, we're 4 to 6 people, eight men out there, and we pray every day. And well, a couple of weeks ago, this is funny. One of the men is here today that this experience I shared with. But anyway, it was a part of that experience, and we'd finished praying, and we were walking back to. I was walking back towards the front door of the church, and to come into my office, and one of the men said, "Put it up there at the steeple." He said, "Look at those three buzzards up there on the steeple, on the cross, perched on the cross. There were three black buzzards." And we looked at each other and said, "That cannot be. Where's rock?" You know, there's a rock. And so we're looking, there are no rocks out there in the front yard. So we're coming towards the thing, trying to figure out what to do. And Bernie goes out to the sign, grabs up about 6 stones, brings them back. And I'm leaving one part of that story out because I don't want to get in trouble, but that's a different story. But anyway, it brings about 6 rocks back. And you know what? That cross is way up there on that steeple. You go out, you look, that's way up there. So I'm heaving that stone as hard as I could, and I couldn't even reach the bottom of the steeple itself, much less the cross on the very top of it. You know, so frustrating, because those little three black buzzards still sitting on top of that cross. You know, it just really irritated me, but I couldn't do anything about it, and so because I couldn't reach them. And so what happens is I go into my office, and they go ahead and leave, and you know what? I'm not going to let those buzzards perch on the cross, because they ought not be there. So you know what? I went to the back here, and I got that 12-foot ladder. Okay. I got the 12-foot ladder, and I put it outside the front door, and I climbed up on the roof. And there were some old shingles up there. I tore them up, and I just started heaving with all I could do. And by golly, I got every one of those buzzards off that cross. They were trespassers. They were trespassers. Okay? They trespassed on the cross of Jesus Christ. And by goodness, I was not going to let those stinking buzzards trespass on the cross of Jesus. Now, what in the world does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals sin to you. Sometimes what we do, you know, is we see the sin. But then we say, "God, you got to do something about this sin." And we don't do anything. Make it all go away. You know, it's like what we got to do is the same thing we did with them buzzards. You know what? It's like the Holy Spirit reveals it, and then you have to take action yourself to get rid of the sin that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. Now, whether that has to do with a husband who won't take the initiatives home, or whether it's a wife who won't give her husband the respect that God's Word says, you know, we could give you example after example after example, but the point is, the Holy Spirit gives you and I the freedom. He gives us the freedom after the sin has been revealed. He gives us the freedom to kick it out of our lives, to pursue it with abandon. He's set free. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what he does. But it's up to us. Once he reveals it, we take action. Okay, look what else he says. Look over now at chapter. So we said the Holy Spirit, one of the roles is to bear witness of Christ. Here's another. Look over here in chapter 16 now, and look at what he says in verse 13. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. He shall glorify me." That's the second role, the second role of the Holy Spirit in terms of his divine assignment. Okay, he is to glorify Jesus Christ. Okay, he is to glorify Jesus Christ. Think about the word glorify.
Think about what it means.
You know, I looked it up in the dictionary. It says to glorify is to esteem another as glorious. And I thought about it, what does that mean? And then, you know, more I thought about it, to esteem another as glorious. You know, it's like what the Holy Spirit's role is to esteem Jesus Christ glorious. It is to make Him, it is to honor Him. It is to give Him praise. It is to give Him thanks. You know, this Thanksgiving, what should believers in Jesus Christ be doing? We should be giving thanks to the Holy God for the great things that He has done. Because that extols the Son. It lifts Him up. It gives Him glory. It gives Him honor. It gives Him honor. That's what the role of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture never says that we are to glorify the Spirit. Very important we understand that. We never are to glorify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us for the purpose of not bringing Himself glory, but bringing Christ glory. So what do you think the anti-spirit does in our culture? The anti-Christ, what he does is he lowers Christ. He takes away His uniqueness. He makes Him one among many. That's what the anti-spirit, the anti-Christos does. He lowers the Christ. He strips Him of His divinity. All the time, the Holy Spirit is elevating the Christ, lifting Him up, making Him the grandest, most marvelous Son of God. That's what the role of the Holy Spirit is. It's to make Him grand. Worship. Look at Revelation. If you'd rather stay in John, that's fine. Let me show you how that happens in the book of Revelation. Let me show you what verse chapter 4. Listen to this. Oh, this is good. The heavenly throne room, okay? And the apostle John is in the heavenly throne room. And here's what happens. There are four living creatures around the throne, okay? Four spiritual beings around the throne. And here is what they are doing. Verse 8 says, chapter 4, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. You know what? Don't ever. You know, I heard this, a minister that I heard him on a DVD, and I respect him greatly, but he said this, and I just could not disagree with him more. Just love him as a brother in Christ, but I just couldn't disagree with him more. He said, you know what, when you get to heaven, he said something like, you know, I sure hope that what I'm not doing is putting on a cherub's robe and you know, and just singing songs all day long. You know what? I couldn't disagree with him more. Because you know what? If that's a drudgery to you, to praise God, to say, holy, 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 then I would say to you is, you don't know my Lord. I can't say that. I say, you have not experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what the Holy Spirit will do? That's His assignment. The Holy Spirit loves it when you declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That is His role. That is worship. Pure worship. And how, Lord, please let me be around that throne. Let me go to heaven and Lord, let me do it 24. If there is not even such a thing as time in heaven. So just let me sit right there and praise my only begotten. Verse 9. When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, the crowns, that's something of great value to the 24 elders. Those crowns are in each of them probably is a crown of martyrdom. That's just where it begins. He says, they say, verse 11, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will, they existed and were created. I mean, tell me if that is not worship. Tell me if that is not worship. Tell me if that doesn't honor, that doesn't glorify God the Father and Christ the Son. He glorifies them, lifts them up. My sons used to play in athletics in their younger days. Go to the stands. And tell you how my wife and I tell you what Debbie did, okay? Here's what Debbie did. Particularly when Mount Hebron was in my oldest son was playing football for Mount Hebron High School. Which for quarterback, he was a quarterback, that can be a very dangerous assignment. At Mount Hebron High School, because they lost all the time, and so you just got plastered. Okay, you know what my wife did? Here's what my wife did. Before every game, my wife would go to the field where they're playing, wherever it was in Howard County, and you know what she'd do? She'd walk around the whole field praying. She'd do that before every game. She'd go around the whole field, and she'd just be praying and praying and praying and asking God for the protection of the Holy Spirit upon my oldest son. Now, let me ask you, if you were my oldest son, how would you feel? Do you feel honored by that? Wouldn't you feel like, you know, that you matter to your mother? Well, let me give you a contrast to that. I can remember going to the stands and this lady reading her book. Now, if you were that lady's son, do you feel honored because your mom came to the game and read her book the whole game? You know, parents, let me just say, you know, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Now, that's not an honor. That's a dishonor. It's like, you know, I got something more important I'm doing. Watching my son play? I have my book. Let me ask you this question. You come in on a Sunday morning to worship God. Does he feel like you just reading a book that you brought with you? Does he feel honored? It's the same thing, see? See, you come in on a Sunday morning. Let me praise my Jesus. Let me praise my God. See, you say, I can't sing. You know, how many times have we gone over this? You say, well, I can't sing. You know, just sit there and open your book then. I'm not talking about the Bible. Open your novel. It's no different. It's no difference. The Holy Spirit comes to give glory. He comes to give glory to the Son. And when you don't worship Him, you say, well, I want a model. Go look at Revelation 4. Look at Revelation 7. You know, God's even given us a model of how to worship. You say, well, I don't like the music. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. What's that got to do with it? It has nothing to do with it. So if you don't like the music, you know what I would say? What better way to demonstrate praise and honor of God than to praise Him with all your heart in music you don't particularly like? You see what I'm saying? It's got nothing to do with the music. It has everything to do with whether or not you are going to give the Holy Spirit permission to do what God sent Him to do, to give glory to the Son. Why is the church of Jesus Christ dead in so many places? Because we've lost sight of the role of the Holy Spirit to glorify the Son. We see church as a place where we come to get our back scratched. No. 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 It's to give glory to the Son. You want to experience the witness of the Spirit? Give glory to the Son. Give glory to the Son. Got nothing to do with your voice. Got nothing to do with you liking the song. But everything to do with whether or not you're going to worship, honor, and praise the only begotten Son of God. Bear witness of the Son. Give glory to the Son. And receive the truth of the Son. It's the third row. Look, we'll finish right here. Look back at 16, chapter 16, verse 13. Once again, here's what he says. But when he, the Spirit of what? Truth. Most times when you read about the Holy Spirit, he will be referred to as the Spirit of truth. Okay? The Spirit of truth comes. When he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, this is very interesting to me. The Spirit, the Word says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth. Now, here's where we lose a little bit in the translation, because what the Scripture says, what the translation rather says, he will guide you. Okay? Here's what the Greek word literally means that is translated as guide. It is the word that he will lead you. He will lead you. Okay? Think about it. The definition of leader has no meaning unless there is a follower. No follower, no leader. No such thing. It assumes that someone is following. Okay. Now take that and apply it to the text. What is it saying? The Holy Spirit leads you into the truth. Holy Spirit's leading me into the truth, even now today. He's leading us into the truth of the Word. What do we do? How do I follow? Where are you taking me, Spirit? Where are you taking me, Spirit? I'm with you, man. Parakletos, the one who walks alongside, he doesn't walk alongside. He might walk in front of, and what I am to do is I am to follow the role, I'm to follow the Holy Spirit, because his assignment is to lead me into the truth. And so I follow. This is what the Word of God says. And so you think about our society. Think about the church. What does the church do? The church takes the Word of God and treats it like a buffet line. Treats it like a buffet line. You pick and choose. You like potatoes? Or you like bread? Or you don't like wheat bread? Okay, then you take the white bread, and don't take the wheat bread. Or you take the ham, but don't take the turkey. In other words, what I'm saying is, can't experience the Holy Spirit? Well, I wonder why that is. Because the Bible is like a buffet line, and you pick and choose what you want to follow. The Scripture says the Holy Spirit leads. Well, you know what? This is what the Scripture says. You know what does it say about Jesus Christ? It says he's the only begotten Son of God. Well, you know what, Pastor? That's pretty narrow-minded. Hey, you know what? This is narrow-minded as the Holy Spirit is narrow. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's going to guide me into the truth. He's going to lead me into the truth. You know what? When I was in high school, I played quarterback. Okay? Here's one thing I know about being quarterback. Quarterback calls the plays. Now, he may get the plays from the sideline. The coach may send the plays in from the sideline. You know, some of you are going to watch the Ravens game in a little while. And you know what? You're going to see the plays coming in from the sideline. And what they're going to do, they're going to bring that play to the quarterback. Because even though the play may come from the sidelines, it's the quarterback that's going to tell everybody in that huddle what they're supposed to do. Now, here is the problem. The problem is, let's suppose that John Doe lineman over here decides he wants to run a different play. Somebody's going to get hurt. Let's suppose that, you know, you're watching TV sometimes, and you'll see what will happen is that the quarterback's under center. And he goes, the center snapped the ball. The quarterback will head to the right, and he's trying to hand the ball off, and all the backfield is going the other direction. You know what just happened? The quarterback forgot to play. And he's gone to the right, thinking it's a play to the right, and everybody else is going to the left. Okay, what am I saying? You know, the quarterback's role is to call the play, and everybody has to know the play, and everybody has to run the same play in order to win the game. You know what's happened to the church today? You know what's happened to believers today? Is that we all want to be quarterback, and we want to call the plays. We want to go. We want to do such and such. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to invest our lives in this. We want to invest our lives in that. We want to forget about this Jesus business. You know, forget about serving in the church. We forget about giving in the. You know. No. That's not God's word. No, no. See, Holy Spirit, He leads. And you follow, and I follow. On Sunday morning when the choir sings? What does Sherry stand up here? You know, she stands up here and she does her arms, you know, she does over here. You know, what would happen is, you know, if the choir didn't ever pay attention to us, now I always pay attention, but you know. What would happen is the choir doesn't pay attention, doesn't follow the director. You know, we wouldn't make a beautiful sound. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same way when it's like the Word of God, the role of the Holy Spirit is to take the Word of God, to open its truth, and you and I must follow what it says in order to experience the presence of God in our lives. Now, how can I put this duct tape back on the Spirit's mouth? You know how I can do that? I never open it up. Yeah, I just decide not to open it. That's what I can do. My computer in there, what happens is, I'm finishing right here. Okay, my computer, you know, you ever listen to Pandora.com? It's really, you ought to go there. It's, you can choose your Christian artist, you know, I play Pandora, you know, all the time. And what happens is, and some of the music is going on in my office, and people come into my office. Come into my office from time to time. Here's what I do. You know, Pandora just keeps right on playing. Music keeps right on playing. I got a little mute button on my keyboard. I just push the mute button. And the sound stops, and I can talk to whoever's coming. You know, they leave, and I push the mute button again, and now the sound comes back out. You realize that that's just exactly how we can do the Holy Spirit? Saying, you know, the Holy Spirit's convicting you of sin. I don't want to hear that. Push the mute button. So, we're coming in here on Sunday morning. We're going to worship God. Give glory to God. Say, well, I don't feel like singing. Well, push the mute button. You know, say, you know, I think I want to, you know, Holy Spirit impresses us about the power of God's word to transform our life. You know what? I'm sleepy. I'm going to bed now. I don't think I'm going to read the word. Push the mute button. See? The amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is because you keep pushing the mute button, and eventually, you know what will happen? He'll stop speaking. Yeah. Until you are ready to hear again, he'll stop speaking. Yeah. And what parent, you know, teenage son, he's over and over again, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know, no, Mom, it's okay. You know, it's not a problem. Eventually, you come to a place where you say, what's the use? The Holy Spirit, when you keep saying no, it's like taking a bucket of water on a roaring fire, tossing it on the fire. You know, the fire of the Spirit in your life, give testimony to Jesus. Give Jesus glory. Open the Word and let the Holy Spirit guide you into truth. That's how you experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I tell you, that'll preach. It'll preach. It puts you at a place where you know you've just heard truth. And you come to a place where you've heard that truth, and you have to decide, don't want to hear that truth. There's freedom and liberty. There's liberty in the Holy Spirit. He ain't gonna make you hear it.
as long as you're listening. God's good. I bless your name. I give you glory. You are good and faithful. Your love is so complete, oh precious Spirit. Oh God, you come in the person of the Holy Spirit, the expression of the only begotten one, the image of the only begotten one, living in our hearts. Father, I pray, oh God, as we have heard your Spirit this morning, we will yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Our musicians will come now to lead us in a hymn. It's a hymn of response. And as God has led you or spoken to you this morning, I'll be here to receive you. Perhaps God has said something to you about giving Christ his glory or bearing witness. And you want to just say, God, I hear you. I hear you right now this morning. Here's how you can actualize that response. You just come down front here and you just kneel right over here in the front. You say, God, I've heard you and I'm going to do such and such. Forgive me for this and help me to move in this direction. I give you free reign in my life. I yield to your reign. Let's stand as we respond to Jesus Christ this morning.
At the sound of You and I choose to believe in you.